4:35.
Thank you for coming today. It's our last meeting of the year. Yay! The Texas legislature is still in session. I am hoping that we can move to some other things next year, but you never know what's going to happen through the legislature, right? And so we will just see. We're going to go through a couple things that you were sent on the agenda. We have some updates for you, and we have some people that will share some information. It looks like that everybody here is currently on check, and there's nobody here to make any public comments. Am I correct? Okay, so we're going to move past that. We're going to start with an update over the curriculum taught regarding the prevention of child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking, and then give you a brief update on the curriculum being taught regarding human sexuality. We're going to have a presentation over Catch My Breath, and then I'll give you a brief update on membership for next school year, some district updates, and we'll be done. Hopefully, we'll be pretty quick for you, and then we'll send you some information you can look at after the meeting for next year. So the first thing we have is our update over the curriculum regarding the prevention of child abuse, family violence, dating violence, and sex trafficking. So we have completed having Play It Safe and present at all of our elementary schools. And so we wanted to give you an update in regards to that. Erica Melton is with us today. And so she is a part of our SHAC. She is the presenter. I will tell you a couple things that we learned. One, which we knew already, we will have a parent night much earlier than we had it this year. We had to, because we were still adopting and getting board approval, we waited to have a parent night. The other thing is that we had four or five parents. We had computers set up, so Erica was able to log everybody in to the Play It Safe materials so that they could see the videos. Every parent was very appreciative of that. There was a father that was here that had three children in the school district, and so he sat and watched all three videos, and we stayed for him to have enough time to do that. And so we believe that once we have more time to be able to publicize it, we might have more parents come out to be able to then see the videos. We were able to live stream the part that where Erica talked to everybody. She just can't give out the password to everybody. We did talk about some options for next year where parents could make an appointment with the curriculum and instruction department to come and preview the videos, so that way they wouldn't have to just be able to come to that night. And so we're working on looking into that more. So hopefully next year, we still can't just give out the password for it, but parents can either come to that evening or they could come up and make an appointment with the curriculum and instruction department to come up and be able to view the video by appointment no matter the time. So in regards to the parent night, that's where we were. And I think we'll be able to make it happen when people can make an appointment to come up. We had several people make appointments when we reviewed some other instructional materials. And so we're hoping that we can have that happen. I heard from every elementary counselor. Every elementary counselor has talked positively about how Play It Safe went at their school. They said they had, and we'll let Erica do a debrief too. From the elementary counselor perspective, they said that they had plenty of adults in the room, that they did have the children separate, boys and girls. That's human section. I'll Play It Safe. I apologize. You're right. Okay. That they were together, that they were able to ask questions, and there was a way to field questions as they asked their questions. And so Erica, I guess if you want to go ahead and be brief, kind of.
So the kids did great. I've been to every elementary school in the five counties that we service. So that's Vernon, Blanco, Lampasa, Slano, and San Saba. So now with Marble Falls Elementary's done, we're officially in every elementary school, which is awesome. They did fantastic. Some of the kindergarten first graders that I got towards the end of the day, like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, needed a 5-minute run around in the gym before they came and sat down. But other than that, they did great. I did do something a little different with Highland Lakes Elementary than normal elementary schools because the vast majority there are Spanish speaking. Since I don't speak Spanish, I sent them home kindergarten through second grade. I sent them home with Spanish coloring books. So the coloring books we would give normally just to kindergartners, I gave to kindergarten all the way up to second grade for anybody that has parents at home that only speak Spanish. so that they could go home to their parents and just kind of explain what they learned, hearing it from me and then being able to reciprocate it to their parents. So Ozone, that was a little different. Next year, we'll just give it to kindergarten, but since it was my first year in the elementary school, I wanted to make sure that I covered as many of the younger ones as possible. But like I said, it ran smoothly. It was awesome, and I appreciate all the help and support from all the counselors and all the parents who opted in.
For sure.
Thank you. Of course. Do you all have any questions in regards to the Play It Safe? Can you share?
Yes, ma'am.
The four parents who came, did they opt in or out?
They opted in. They opted in, and they really just wanted to see the video just to be sure. There was one parent that I could tell that was on the fence, and then after she viewed the video, she was good. She ended up, would you agree with that, that there was one? I thought there was one that was really on the fence. But
yeah.
And then, like I said, the one parent, he watched all three videos all the way through, and it was safe for him to do that. And that's where we thought if we were able to make appointments, then if they have multiple children, they don't feel, we tried to make him not feel rushed, but there weren't very many people here, so we let some people go, but we wanted to make sure he knew that he could have enough time. And Nathan and Faith did a great job having enough computers for us, so it was awesome. Yes, sir?
Was there a lot of people that opted out, that y'all remember how we talked about that?
Yes, and I forgot to get you the actual numbers for this evening. I have some numbers on middle school human sexuality some, but it was very few people who opted out the kids, very few. And so I can, what I'll do is, Dr. Fields, will you write that down for me? That I can get the actual numbers for you all and I'll send it to you. But it was minimal. It's my understanding that at a couple schools it was no one, and then it was like under five. There were not very many at all. Which we have always functioned, that this is one thing that's to our advantage. We have always functioned by opt-in. So when the legislature passed to opt-in, what a lot of districts had done is, you know, parent, if you don't want your kid to do it, you got to sign the form. If you don't want your kid to do it. We have always operated by check yes or check no, and then we hunt you down if you didn't fill out the form. And so I think that was to our advantage. I know that we had some concern in that, people who are abusers could choose not to have their kid participate. We had just a small portion of students who did not participate. But I'll get you all those exact numbers. We have those. I apologize. I don't understand. Other questions? Okay, next we're going to move on to an update on human sexuality instruction. So we are progressing through the month of May on the human sexuality instruction. I told you last time that what we did is we reconvened the elementary group because, like I explained last time, our nurses do a fabulous job, and they are clinically trained, but they are not teachers. And so asking them to execute a bunch of lessons was a little bit difficult, and asking them to just kind of get together and develop. So what we did is we brought together the PE teachers, counselors, some of the nurses, all with Ms. O'Connor, and Ms. O'Connor facilitated the day for the lessons that come out of Quaver, how that is being, how that will be delivered. And that will be delivered in the middle of May. And so on the elementary level right now, I gave you a copy of the letter that will go out tomorrow. This will go home with all of the children tomorrow. It's in English and Spanish. And one thing that we did do is that a question that I keep getting is, why did the district decide to do this? And we want to make sure that it's known on the child abuse, even though it is good information for all of our children to learn what they are learning through Play It Safe. It actually was mandated by the legislature. And so the human sexuality instruction, the TEKS lay it out. It's mandated. And so, and then the getting the permission is also. And so one thing that we did with this elementary level letter, in the past it only had to go to fifth grade. And it was basically, you know, you give permission or not for the human growth and development video to be shown, and we'll have a talk about puberty. It didn't list as puberty. It said what changes they undergo while growing or something. And that's all that it said. And so this letter is a little longer than it's been in the past. And this goes to all fourth and fifth grade parents. Now, fourth grade, it's just a small amount of information that the fourth graders receive. It really is what our traditional human growth and development discussion has been around. It has been around how their body changes through puberty. Fifth grade is where there's the additional human sexuality parts added in. And so what we have here, you can see the sample of the letter, and so we reference Texas House Bill 1525 that we're required to provide instruction related to human growth and development and human sexuality, and that with guidance from SHAC, we approve the curriculum that will be used to teach this topic and determine grade levels that will receive instruction. The lessons from it are from the Quaver State Adopted Resource. As a parent, you have the right to preview the curriculum. Please contact the school counselor for an appointment if you wish to review the curriculum. And then we have, in accordance with the local board policy and in compliance with the law and board policy, the district must obtain written consent before a student can be provided human growth and development and human sexuality instruction. We say when it's scheduled to happen. We must have your intent in writing. If we do not receive the assigned intent below by May 8th, someone's going to contact you. So we're going to call you. We're going to hound you down just like we've done in the past. There are several districts that just had parents sign if they agreed for the kid to participate. We actually want the parents to check yes or no, which is what we have always done. We want you to check no, or we want you to check yes. And so this will go out tomorrow to elementary parents. It tries to give more context than we've given in the past. And so we did want you all to see the letter. So that you could see what would be going out. And then I will give you an update on opt-out on this, even though this is our last meeting. I'll give you an update before we get out of school on what opt-out was on this. Dr. Metzger has some numbers right now for what we have seen for opt-out for some of the middle school grades for human sexuality.
Absolutely. So we have finished our eighth grade instruction, and we only had 4 official opt-outs for 8th grade, but we had about 30 more that did not complete the form. So we had about 34 students that did not participate, but the rest of the 8th grade class did, and I was told that that went well. We are right now in the process of collecting the forms for 6th grade. That instruction is supposed to begin on Monday, and it is going to be done through the PE classes and the pre-athletic classes, and in 6th grade it will be separated by gender. In 8th grade it was together in the level up class. So far we have 150-ish returned. So I sent some emails today and said we got to get those coaches calling the parents, because when you call, a lot of times they'll get them in, or if they say, well, I don't have an email, or I don't ever check my email, then we've told the teachers that they can verbally tell them over the phone, like answer the questions, and they can put it in. And we even sent some paper copies for those that requested it with 8th grade. So that cutoff is tomorrow, because once we, at that point, we have to turn over to technology, and then they have to add the particular book to the student's class link, because it's an additional book for the human sexuality curriculum. And we've got to get that going for Monday. So that's where we are.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the school year, we plan to hold a debrief with the teachers to, like we had told you, in order to see suggestions that they may have for adjustments for next year. At the elementary level, everybody really tended to like the video that was done, but the group that met together to plan the lessons, they are confident in the lessons, and they we'll see how that goes, and then we'll have that same group then sit down and debrief how it went this year, what we can improve upon, and Dr. Metzger facilitates that with the middle school teachers also, as far as what can we improve upon, or what went really well from this year. Any questions from those? Okay, the next thing that I have down for you for today, and I'm trying to progress quickly for you, is a discussion around Catch My Breath. And so we are at a point where we need to put in some vaping prevention information formally within our school system. And so Catch My Breath was reviewed by the principals. It was reviewed by the counselors. And I'm going to present the Catch My Breath information to you today. This does not necessarily require your approval, but if somebody in here does not like or you have questions about it, if you'll please let us know. As of the end of March, just for some context, as of the end of March, we had 37 office referrals that were vape involved. this school year. That would be just the ones that were identified and put on a referral and identified as vape. Sometimes there's a more serious incident that happened, and so there could be a more serious thing, and then vape is in a description, and they're running me another collection on that. But 37 that were direct offenses for vape only. And I know that a lot of times when people think, I told you 37 for high school, people think, well, there's a lot less for middle school, right? Well, current research that's coming out is actually showing that middle school vaping incidences are catching up to high school vaping incidences. We had 37 high school vaping offenses. We had 35 middle school vaping offenses as of the end of March. And so I'm going to show you just some different information here in regards to vaping. I think one of the biggest misconceptions, so I'm going to be transparent with you here. The district that I came from was a pilot school for Catch My Breath. But when I presented it to the administrators, there are three or four administrators in the room from other school districts from around the Hill Country area that all were familiar with Catch My Breath. Because one thing I said is, if you all know a different program or a better program, tell me. And two of the people in the room said, actually, the Catch My Breath is one of the best programs. It's out the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation. It's through the catch.org. And so that's why we chose to progress with Catch My Breath. When I came here in my first year, I was principal of Falls. I presented some of the Catch My Breath high school curriculum to the students at Falls. The students at Falls, when I presented it, became very emotional. And one of the reasons why they were very emotional, a couple of them, one in particular that stands out to me, he told me, he said, Miss, it's too late for me, but if you could put this in for my little brother or sister in fifth grade, that would be helpful. Because I can't go back and change, but if we can get them to not. And so that just came from them. That was my first year. Yes, that was 5 years ago. But what is happening is our incidents of vaping are increasing, and it is wreaking havoc. Kids, we have some new programs we've implemented at the high school for hall passes. Part of why we have implemented some new programs for hall passes and to account where the kids are, it is for student safety. Also, we have kids making appointments to meet in the bathroom to vape. We have toilets getting clogged in our school system because of the number of vapes that are being shoved down the toilets. And really, the bigger concern is student health. And one of the biggest misconceptions is these kids think that they are inhaling, they think the vapor is water vapor. And it's chemical. It's not water vapor, it's chemical. And the amount of nicotine that they're bringing in on a vape is equal to 20 or more cigarettes. And so, you know, that they're getting addicted so quick. And I'm going to show you a couple videos from Catch, and then I have some information that's going to be passed around for you. If you'll just start with that one, and then this one, and then this one. And so I have some information for you. The information I have for you is a parent letter from Catch. I also have a parent information sheet, if you'll just pass it to the three of you, and then that one's coming around to everybody. And then a parent toolkit. And so Catch not only has the information for the educators, but it also has the information then for the parents. The educator lessons are informational, and they get to a certain level, but then the parent information, if parents choose to, can go more in-depth into some discussions. And so I'll show you a couple quick videos, and then I'll send you the link where you can access some of the long videos if you choose to. One of the videos is like 17 minutes long, so I'm not going to show that one, but let me get one here for you. I did want to show you this one, it's about vaping, so I'm going to, it is a little older.
Very small, easy to hide in school. They're just kind of everywhere.
They would come in here, you'd have four or five kids at a time congregating, and they'd start to vape.
This is one of the newer vapes that's coming out. Students smoking through this part of it.
The most popular item, which is the Juul. And as you can see, it looks like a flashlight. It's not. And then the kids can just tuck it away when they're done. So.
The Juul is something I always saw on like social media, on Twitter. People always be like, out, you know, how awesome their new Juul is.
This small little device, you take a little hit and you get the buzz.
What kids don't realize is that this small e-liquid pod that comes with the Juul has as much nicotine as 20 individual cigarettes.
It's been devastating to us. This is not a product for youth. It's a product for adult smokers. One of the things that we've done is accelerated adding a warning to all materials that talk about Juul, whether they're in a convenience store or online. There will be 20% of the space showing that this product contains nicotine.
All right, so today we're going to do the fourth lesson on e-cigarettes. So e-cigarette flavors, let's look at what we've got here. Hawaiian Punch, Gummy Bears, S'mores, Skittles, Cotton Candy, Sweet Tarts, Fruit Loops, Banana Splits. Who are advertisers trying to appeal to with these candy flavors?
There were no flavors, I probably wouldn't be interested on vaping. It's like you're having a cookies and cream milkshake, to be honest. So that's how it tastes in your mouth.
They now come in over 7,000 flavors. Kids who use e-cigarettes, they do so precisely because of the flavors.
Spend some time in a vape shop and see the customers that come in for these wildly named products. They are adults, and they are the same type that watches Family Guy on Sunday nights.
No adult smoker needs cotton candy or gummy bear flavor or packaging that looks like candy. But we believe it's incredibly important for adult smokers to have access to flavors in order to switch and to stay switched.
I know it's supposed to stop smokers, but I think it's almost helping teens get introduced to it.
The candy flavors, okay, good. And yep.
And make it seem like it's more healthier.
All of these flavors mask the harshness and make this feel like it is a totally benign product.
Most of my friends that use it, to them, they just think, oh, it's water vapor. There's nothing of it.
This product contains chemicals known to the state of California to cause cancer and birth defects or other reproductive harm. Okay, I never read that before. Doesn't make me feel great.
Each cigarette is delivering the chemical cocktail. The story of flavorings goes back almost 20 years now when we first started looking or seeing disease develop in workers at a microwave popcorn packaging plant. Workers back then were mixing kernels with fake butter flavor. Diacetyl is the name of the chemical. And they were working over vats where the fumes would rise up and they'd be inhaling these fumes. Well, many of these workers developed a severe irreversible lung disease called bronchiolitis obliterans. We now call that disease popcorn lung. Well, that's very similar to what's happening in these cigarettes. You have a heating element, you have the flavoring chemicals, you're heating them and constantly inhaling them. Some users might see warnings or labels that say our product is diacetyl free. And that might be true, but the reality is that to get flavors, the many thousands of flavors of e-cigarettes, they have to use some flavoring chemical. And there are chemical cousins to diacetyl that are on the market right now.
Nicotine isn't finger looking good.
Stand tall, stay smart, it's not only affecting you.
Hashtag NickNoTeen.
We are starting the e-cigarette. We are heating the e-liquid. We are generating an aerosol. And we are collecting the aerosol back so that we can actually measure the metals. We found that the levels of metals in the aerosol were much higher than the original levels in the e-liquid before it was heated. Our strongest suspicion is that the coil is the place in the device from where the metals are leaching out. Lead levels were 25.4 times higher in the aerosol as compared to the original e-liquid. We also found other metals that are well known to be carcinogenic, such as nickel, chromium, and then arsenic, who is a well-known poison.
The problem here is we're not telling the whole truth. We're only telling the half-truth. We're talking about the harms of e-cigarettes, and we never mention that they're much less harmful than cigarettes.
When we talk about switching to e-cigarettes, we talk about the relative risks. We say e-cigarettes are safer than cigarettes. Everything is safer than cigarettes.
Adult smokers have a right to know what's in these products, and we believe and support reasonable regulation.
Reasonable product standards. But what the FDA has proposed is not regulation, it is prohibition for over 99% of products on the market today.
If the e-cigarette industry can demonstrate that any of their specific products actually help smokers quit and can be marketed in a way that doesn't addict another generation of kids, we would welcome that. What has happened in the absence of regulation. Millions of kids are using them because of the flavors, and smokers who want to quit still don't know which, if any, of these products are helpful.
one person is going to put the pressure on, okay? Come on, try this. And then I want you to use your note cards as a response to that, right? To shut them down.
Do you want to come smoke some cigarettes with us, some e-cigarettes?
I'm good.
Why not? Everyone's doing it. It's going to just be a party of everyone.
If everyone's doing it, doesn't mean it's good.
How many people in here think that they have the skills to say no when somebody offers you an e-cigarette? Nice job.
So it's a relatively old video. Many of the statistics that are more up to date are much more alarming. Much more alarming. For a long time there was some research on the cotton candy flavor, and what they would do is they would take an x-ray of people's lungs before they had vaped, and then after they had vaped for a period of time, just inhaling the cotton candy flavor, not even just flavor, not even with nicotine, and it showed that it started to burn out people's lungs. And we actually have two doctors in the room who can refute anything that I'm bringing up, but that was just a video that's actually a couple years old that talked about the lessons. The actual lessons for Catch My Breath, which I'll send you the link to and you can see, you'll be able to see them. There are four lessons. And so when we go into, I gave you a copy of the parent notification letter that Catch My Breath gives us, that we don't have to necessarily use that letter, but I give you a copy of that here. Let me find my correct tab because I have several tabs open. On the Catch My Breath website, there is a 17-minute parent, like a community presentation that is on here, and there are a couple other presentations on here that are helpful. If you look on the Catch My Breath website, the main lessons are for grades 5 through 12, and if you look, this is 5th grade, and there are four sessions the kids go through. The first is consequences of using e-cigarettes, making your own choices, don't let them lie and win. You know, just like advertising used to be for cigarettes, how the advertising is right now for vapes. And then your life, your choice. I'll be honest, when the counselors reviewed this, the counselors really loved the 5 through 12 lessons. They looked at the lessons in depth. I'm going to show you in depth what some of those lessons are in just a second. But I'm also going to bring up to you that down at the bottom here, there is a substance part. And one of the things that the counselors brought up, do you remember in the fall around Halloween as Shaq, and we talked about the script that all of the counselors went into all of the classrooms in elementary school and read to the kids about medication? Well, the counselors really were impressed by the fact that, for instance, there are two lessons in kindergarten. The two lessons in kindergarten are scripted. It is almost word for word what we said. Medication is meant to cure, to help with an illness or to make you feel better if you are sick. And you are only to take medication from a doctor or a nurse or your parent, not from anybody else. It also had, remember in the script for 3 through 5, how it had the refusal strategies? These are things you can do if somebody asks you if you would like this. This is how you respond. It has that in here also. The counselors the elementary counselors, well, and the secondary ones, were very impressed by the lessons and actually are recommending that we go all the way to kindergarten to use these basic lessons on substance misuse. And it breaks it down. I brought out one of the PowerPoints for you to see. And you can see just the similarities with our script. By the way, on there you could tell this is the lesson plan for the teacher, and it talks about what they need to get ready, and then it has a Google slide, and you can have it as a PowerPoint. I have this one as a Google slide right here for you. And so it talks about what is substance misuse. This is the kindergarten one. Medication is used to help someone feel better when they are sick. Guardians and doctors only. We went over what is a drug. And so what drugs hurt. And then this has a way that they can respond as they go through scenarios. We talked about mind, heart, and body in our script. There could be consequences. And then this gives different scenarios, and the kids stand up if it's safe, and they squat if they think it's a misuse. And it gives them some basic scenarios. The child finds some pills on the table. The child counselors, they have been very impressed by the lower level ones. Nothing they felt goes beyond. I'll be able to give you, you can sign up for free to be able to access these. There was one other part, I have some slides here just to show you. So Catch My Breath, because of who they're associated with, they have collected a lot of data. It's free to every school in the state of Texas. You pay extra for some additional videos. We use Catch as our coordinated school health program, so we have access to those videos. And then it is offered to other states who can pay, but in the state of Texas, it's free. CVS sponsors, you saw the UT School of Public Health. There is Michael and Susan Dill Foundation originally helped with the grant. Discovery Education, you can see here, that's the community presentation. What they have found is they have found that in an average middle school seventh grade class now, after implementing the program, that originally 17 of the students would, out of 192 students, 17 would try. If we do nothing, 8 would be prevented with Catch My Breath. And so there's a lot of data that they have, that they have been collecting around the program, and really it deals with just education. And some of that isn't necessarily just due to using the Catch My Breath program. If we used a different program, the one that's out there the most right now, and has the most supports for parents and teachers, looks like that it is the Catch My Breath. This is an example. This is just a quick, it's 1 minute long. I it would be good if I actually showed you. I had it linked there. Let me go back. Do not want this 15 minute video. This is a really good video, by the way. It's 4 minutes long. It's on the vaping clinic at dinner. Go up to the short one so you can see what all is included in the program.
Using nicotine can make you feel dizzy, nauseous, confused, and nervous.
Let's make ourselves really small and go into the aerosolized vapor.
This generation will be the generation that says no and does not allow substances to control a user's life.
Peer-reviewed study found that schools that implemented the Catch My Breath vaping prevention curriculum had about half as many seventh graders try vaping in the following year.
That's just a short video there, but let me go back to the presentation to be able to show you that I broke out the grades 5 through 8, so you can see where I talked about consequences of using e-cigarettes. And this presentation will be posted on our website tomorrow, so you can access. It has the 4 parts that they would learn in that first session. And then it has the parts they learn in the second on making their own choices. And don't let them lie in the wind, which is around advertising. I don't know if you've looked in People Magazine and some other magazines lately. It's hard to tell if it's a vaping advertisement, or I guess not everybody reads magazines. Through other ways, different types of advertising. Your life, your choices. 9th through 12th grade. Again, there's 4. So one of the reasons why Dr. Gassaway asked that we start to look into this, and Dr. Allen had already began to talk about it, is that we're assigning consequences. Kids that are vaping nicotine, we have kids that are vaping THC, we have kids that are vaping just flavors, thinking that they're not harming their bodies, and they are. And so instead of just consequences, we want to put in prevention, and we want to educate the kids to make an educated decision on their choices.
And I don't know if y'all know, but vapes and all the supplies is like a fourth of the cost of cigarettes.
Yes.
It's very cheap.
On a personal level, I'll just tell you, so a lot of the research there shows that if a teen or if a middle school kid starts by just vaping flavor, then they're more likely to add in nicotine, and then they're more likely to try other drugs. I can tell you personally that I have two nephews. One had a full ride to a four-year public university. That exact thing is what happened, and ended up with illegal drug use and kicked out of the university, lost the full ride. It is still dealing with how to stop using some of the drugs. And then the other one, pretty much the same, just didn't go to university, but was just a different path and the same. And to see where it was, oh, it's just this, and then it's, you know, oh, well, it's just with this. But then it progressed to that next level. It's actually illegal for me to see that firsthand, which actually happened after I had been implementing Catch My Breath. So after even my first year of falls, those two incidents had happened. And I've heard that from several other families. You know, there are students that we get that have vaped so much that they're so addicted to the nicotine, and they would hide it at school and go so frequently that then when they are at Epic, they have a hard time making it through the day. Because, you know, at Epic, there's a much closer watch on them. They can't go find where they hid the vape in the ceiling tile or other places that some of them are being hid. Now I'm going to share with you the website. You can sign up for the free access to the materials. There are a lot of resources that they have just posted for free. The only thing that's really behind the firewall are some of the additional paid resources, that some of the additional videos that we get. That's kind of what's behind the firewall, but we're able to allow anybody to preview it. Like I said, the counselors really recommended going all the way down to kindergarten. They preferred what this showed on misuse for kindergarten and elementary school up to fourth grade. They preferred what this showed over the script that they read. They preferred to be able to actually go in and do lessons with the kids over this. And it would be the elementary counselors that would go in and do the lessons. They also liked the fifth grade misuse lesson and then the Catch My Breath, starting the Catch My Breath lesson, because the fifth grade misuse lesson encompasses more than just vaping. And it goes back to that script that we had around Halloween. Do you all have any questions? Yes?
So I think one of the things that I see a lot is that kids who are vaping, not always, but oftentimes they're kids and parents who are vaping.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, and the reverberation from stopping smoking stuff, when suddenly your kid turned to you and said, I really wish you wouldn't do that. They told me in school that's going to kill you. You know, I can't tell you how many patients come into my office for that reason, because a child has told them to quit smoking. But I really wonder what happens to the 37 students who were caught vaping. Like, is there some sort of, now you have to go to some sort of video seminar or something to try and help you change your habit?
Yes, Clark, do you want to talk about that?
I'll let you. Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, if the high school has changed.
So what we have is, we do have the opportunity where if it has resulted in an Epic placement, if they complete an education program, they can actually reduce the number of days on their Epic placement. We do have an education program that they should be going through. And what it was first is we were referring them to Bluebonnet Trails, and then if they don't qualify through Bluebonnet Trails, then we're putting them through Vape Educate. But Bluebonnet Trails is so full right now that we're working on an alternative way to approach it next year, where the Falls Creek High School counselor will provide the Epic Falls Creek High School counselor will provide that counseling within Epic. But then what we're looking at prevention here would be that we would implement Catch My Breath. And so we would try to catch in a better way. Caitlin, you've been in some of those discussions too, but really Bluebonnet Trails is too full to handle. And then some of our kids actually don't qualify for the Bluebonnet Trails. because through the they take a not a survey, what is it? A self-assessment, basically an intake, and if they're not determined to be addicted, then they don't qualify for the Blue Mountain Trail services. And so we had to find something else, and that's why we had filled in with Vape Educate. But I mean, Vape Educate, it's self-paced, they click through. We are not seeing that the Vape Educate, we're having recurrences, and so we're not seeing. The other thing that's concerning is that some of the students who are getting caught with vapes have never been in trouble ever in their schooling, and so really many of them would make a better choice if we helped them to be prepared to make that better choice. So we're getting better in how we're going to handle that next year. We acknowledge that what we have in place is not preventing, and just the numbers are increasing. Caitlin, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, there's just also a financial component to that course as well, and so that's been a barrier for some students that have ended up with an Epic placement. Their families can't afford to pay for that course online, and so what's being worked on for next year will eliminate that as well.
Mm-hmm. I know that I belong to a couple principal type Facebook groups, and they talk about, you know, what vape detectors do you have? Are you avoiding the toilets getting ruined? Many of these are not isolated to Marble Falls, but we're a small enough community where we can really tackle some of this and promote it, and it could have a positive impact on just our kids making better choices. One of Dr. Allen's talks before he left was in regards to just everybody has to have a business, but you know, we do have several vape shops in the area, and you know, our students do get some of their things from those vape shops. They maybe don't buy it directly, but other people buy it for them. And you know, in some cases, unfortunately, parents are buying it for their children. And so you're exactly right. If we help to educate the child, then perhaps they, I'm a product of secondhand smoke. My dad eventually tried to stop several times with my sisters and I were vaping. I understand it was very hard for him. He eventually stopped smoking after he had his second heart attack, but it took that much for him to happen.
I can honestly say in my entire career, I've never seen somebody successfully stop smoking using vape.
Yeah.
I believe
it. Trading one for another.
And they're not going to stop. They're not going to continue vaping or continue smoking or find another nicotine delivery system.
Oh, I mean, neither one of them is good. I really think vapes will probably work for you than smoking a cigarette. I shouldn't do either one, but the chemicals in it, I mean, the chemicals in all those.
Chemicals and the concentration of nicotine and what they say. I'll share the information with you all for you all to access the website, and then this is part of the work that we'll do over the summer to be able to then have ready to go for next school year.
Another thing I just thought in my head is one thing to man, have you seen the pictures of what those things blow up in people's pockets?
One of the videos on the ninth grade, I think it's in the high school, where it shows it like the kids pumping gas and it shows it explode and catch the fire. It's quite, yes. There's one in one of the videos that you show kids, it shows one of them exploding. Any other questions that you all have? You can always email me if you have a question or some helpful information or some thoughts that you have around it. The videos in the parent toolkit that you can just, it's on just the full public site. This is a pretty good video. The 17 minute video is good. It's the one that it has a blue, this one. It's lengthy for us for a meeting. The last couple things we have is we have membership for 23-24 school year. You'll receive an email within the next week that talks about if you wish to continue on CHECK. I hope that you wish to continue on CHECK. We have a lot of important work to continue to do as we go through next year, and we need all of you. And you guys have been heavily invested for the last couple of years. We've tackled some great stuff. It's going to be good to see kind of review what we have approved to be implemented and if it needs to be adjusted or how else we can improve on some things. So you'll receive an email, and then I'll also in that email let you know what vacancies that we have before you even RSVP. So if one of you drops out and you actually are a thing, then I'll update that in a later email. But that way, if you know somebody, you can go ahead and have them reach out to us for membership. Yeah, district updates. Just had a couple things for you on district updates since the last time we met. So since the last time we met, Dr. Gassaway was named the new superintendent of schools for Mount Falls ISD, so that you were aware. Since the last time we met, also Dr. Adams, our high school principal, he resigned for the end of this school year. He is moving on to be an assistant superintendent in Cockrest Cove. And so our high school principal position is open, and we will be holding interviews soon. And then if you have seen in the last week, we have stolen Ms. Bernard to come over to central office to be our early college high school coordinator and CTE coordinator. And so we have now posted the middle school principal job for next school year. And so we are taking applications on the website for middle school principal. If you did not hear, we are beginning the implementation of an early college high school. It would be for this year's seventh graders when they are ninth graders. So when they come through as ninth graders, then they can participate and be a part of a cohort for early college high school. They take a number of like two college classes their freshman year, and then it multiplies like four and then six. It goes up each year. And then by the time they are seniors, they will graduate either with an associate's degree or could be core complete to be able to go to a university at no cost to the student. And they still will be able to participate in extracurricular activities and electives. Will be a school within a school at Marble Falls High School. So the kids would still be able to be in all their electives, and then there would be the cohort of kids moving up through dual credit. So Ms. Bernard, there is a large planning year next year, and it's actually not even the whole year. We start to tell those kids, like in December, we start to tell those kids next year that will be eighth graders next year in December to start signing up for their freshman year. And so she will help us with the beginning of early college high school, and we'll start in that. So we do have, like I said, so the high school principal position and the middle school principal position, those two will be new coming in the next year. Any other questions about district updates? No? Okay. I think that is the last thing that I have on our agenda. Are there any other questions you all have in general? That was a lot of talking. So is everybody like thumbs up on Catch My Breath? Like I saw a lot of nodding. If you have some concerns, I'd like to hear it. There was one person in the counseling group, but they didn't really have concerns. They sent me like five other resources that they thought would be helpful to also kind of have within Catch My Breath. So they were like, this is great, and you can also go to these places. So the entire counseling team was on board. The entire administrator team was positive, with several of the administrators using it in their previous districts. Okay, I think we're ready to be adjourned.
All right, we'll adjourn at 5:24.